We have some announcements. We have a new worship time. It's called Worship Wednesdays. It's from 3:30 till 4:30 on Wednesdays. And Andy prepares some YouTube songs, and people worship. Sounds awesome. So anyone is welcome to come to that. We also have a full operating Sunday school and nursery. And we have joined with youth group at Hope Community Church. So if you have kids who are anywhere from the grades 6 to 8, we would love to take them with us, and they could come along too. We also have Path of Recovery, which is Monday nights. If you struggle with depression, anxiety, or grief, this is a safe place you can receive God's healing for yourself. I have another God moment I'd like to share. Part of my anxiety disorder was being very forgetful and then having panic attacks when I would forget things. Before anxiety, simple things were simple, but after anxiety, everything is hard. That includes things like making dinner, which was now filled with pressure, fear, despair, and a brain that would not multitask. I can remember a time when making dinner was easy before the anxiety took over my life, but that was 15 years ago. Making dinner became even more of a nightmare once Shannon had diabetes, my daughter with Down syndrome, because I had to remember to give her insulin. When I would forget the insulin, I would have a panic attack that would last days. My brain tortured me by repeating the lies that I was no good, I'd never get better, I'm a burden to everyone, and I will never feel good again. Satan also fed me the lie that I could not share how I was feeling with anyone. I had to keep it together and pretend to be okay, hiding my despair and pain at all costs. This was a miserable way to live. But through Path of Recovery and learning about who I am in Christ, God is changing me. God used Path of Recovery to address the lies that would repeat in my head. I learned to use Scripture to fight those lies. And about 3 months ago, I had a breakthrough. I still forgot the insulin for Shannon, but I did not have a panic attack.
Good.
I was able to forgive myself and move forward. Path of Recovery has also really helped me because it is a safe place to share my negative feelings. The people there are loving and not judgmental, and to my surprise, they don't get mad at me, but support me and keep loving me even when I'm a mess. The healing I am receiving is monumental. I can even make dinner now without it being hard. God is so good. I want to share this amazing program that God has used to heal me with everyone. If God prompts you to come out Monday night, please come so God can change your life too. I'm going to have, yes, thank you, Jesus. God is awesome. So I'll read the scripture for today. It comes from Philippians 2, 1 to 8, from the New Living Translation. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. I'd like to call Paul Percy up. We get to listen to him again. And I had said that he was famous the other time when I introduced him, but we actually screwed up the recording, so it wasn't on YouTube. So I just want to say again that he is famous, and people from all around book him to preach, and he's one of our own.
Good morning.
I know there were some of you were hoping to see the part two of that message, and you weren't able to, but for $15.99, you can pre-order the video. Well, that's not really true. Yes, that's every, hey, listen. It comes from China, so it'll take a while, okay? You know, the Olympics and everything. Well, thank you for that encouragement, Kristen. And you're doing a good job, by the way, with the intros. I want you to know that, okay? And if it make you feel better, my wife gets anxious every time I make supper, too. So, but thank you. You're doing you. She does a great job. And I think it's. Well, today I'm going to be speaking on your rights and what does love have to do with it. It is. It's actually, it's funny, it's from Mel's niece, Tina. Mel Turner's niece, Tina. All right, okay. Tina Turner was a rock singer who was... Man, where are you guys? That's really good, eh? You know, we live in this, our society today with the protests, and everybody has their point of view. The big thing, of course, is freedom and rights, and probably also a frustration from the... Can you hear me okay? Am I okay? Oh, okay. It's a little louder?
No, I said it could be a little bit.
A little bit louder, okay. You know, we've got all these tensions, and it's kind of growing. And the problem is, as Christians, we need to ask ourselves the question, okay, rights, what does that have to do with me as a Christian? How do I handle my rights as a Christian? This whole thing about, what are my rights, what are my freedoms, kind of came from the 60s, actually. It kind of started there. With a lot of the protests that they had in the early part of the 60s and right up in almost to the 70s, where it was either civil rights or the war in Vietnam, but there was also the feminist movement, there was the gay movement, there was the abortion movement, there was, I can do my own thing, I'm not bothering anybody, and so the whole moral thing went, right down, and then it's just kind of growing. You had riots back then and cities burning back then, just as much as this past summer with Portland and Seattle and other places. It's not new. In fact, I'll give you a head start for next week. I am. I wasn't sure if I was or not, but I'm going to be speaking on the riot at Ephesus in Acts 19. If you want to read ahead, in a newer translation might help. But the riot at Ephesus, and how to look at mob rule, and what it has to do with Christians. Okay, so that's not right now, Sherry. You don't look it up now. Oh, you're taking notes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were looking up. Can we delete that part on the tape? Back in 2005, around there. When Janice and I were in Burlington, and we like to go out for breakfast on Saturdays with some friends, and we had a number of different popular restaurants we like to go to. The one we went to for a while was called Gator Ted's. Now, it was basically a bar and grill, but they had good breakfast. And Gator Ted became famous when he had to fight a 10-year battle with the Ontario Human Rights Commission, which cost him $80,000, over a problem he had with a customer who one evening decided that he was going to go to the front entrance and smoke his medical marijuana. Customers complained about it, because you don't want to go in for your meal and you got to smell the marijuana. And so he was asked nicely by the owners, Ted, to go and smoke elsewhere. It was a kind of on a strip mall or strip plaza. Well, this guy felt that his rights were being infringed upon, and he went to the Human Rights Commission. Now, I'm not a fan of the Human Rights Commission, if you want to know that right. Oh boy, can you erase that? They have made in the past some really, really, really silly, you know, decisions. McLean's magazine a few years back spent almost a whole year tackling them with things that they did that were just ludicrous. So he was told he had to, I don't know what his fine was, and then you have to go take courses, you know, to make you a better person. Well, Ted decided that he wasn't going to stand for that, so he fought it. Fortunately, one of his customers was a lawyer who helped him pro bono in this thing, but it took him 10 years. In the end, it went to an arbitrator who ruled that this customer, really his injury was not such that he had to go outside the front doors and smoke his marijuana. And so, you know, after 10 years, Gator Ted won. But that's the way our thinking is today. You know, I have my rights. I have my rights. And we, you know, and people kind of, I think that's how they make their living, going around suing because of my rights, my rights. What are my rights? We can thank a senior, Trudeau Senior, for the Bill of Rights and some of the problems that it has brought to us. Now, some people justifiably have not been treated well and their rights have been trampled on, and that needs to be dealt with. I'm there. But, you know, with this COVID-19 we've had for 2 years, I was reading this week that there were, you know, with the vax versus anti-vax. It was splitting families. It was splitting friendships. One man said he had to defriend 100 of his friends on Facebook, people he knew since high school. And because of what are my rights? What are my rights? How do I handle my rights? You know, we have to understand that, you know, there are those people who are nervous about getting vaccinated. Sometimes it's a conscience issue, and we'll get into the conscience issue at the end of the message. But they're justified. But others who are worried because, well, maybe they need some surgery and they can't get the surgery because the ICUs are full of people with COVID. There was one woman was in the press who had to have cancer surgery and was put off, I think, twice. And finally, she's booked in for the end of the month. But you know, so you can understand what people are thinking from that end of things too. But it seems that there are those who want their rights and they don't care who they hurt or who they inconvenience as long as I have my rights. And so the question we have is, so what does this have to do with me, and what does it have to do with love? And that's what we need to find out this morning. So let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for what it teaches us and how it helps us. And Father, today, we're not trying to make any one particular political statement here, but Father, we need to look at how we as Christians can react to the issues that we have today. And so, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will open our minds, open our eyes, open our hearts, and open our ears to hear what you have to say to us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, on a number of occasions, had a great group of people following him. And many of them wanted to kind of continue, you know, kind of being part of the team. And on one occasion, Jesus said to the crowd, not just the 12, but to the crowd, he says this. He says, any of you who want to be my follower must stop thinking about yourself and what you want. Now, what he's saying there, if you remember the King James, you must deny yourself. And then he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Or stop thinking about yourself and what you want. Now, Jesus is not saying to us that you have to give up all your rights at once. What I believe he is saying is, are you willing to give up your rights for the sake of the gospel and for the cause, and for my sake, are you willing to do that? He's not saying, I want you to be pushed around as some weakling. Both Paul and Jesus push back at times. If you follow their stories, they push back. In fact, at one time, Paul pulled the old Roman card. Remember in Philippi, they had beaten him, and you know, and then they sent some lowlife, you know, guy to come and tell him, you can go now, you don't do it again. Paul says, no. I want the big boys here. Because I am a Roman citizen. Oh no, not the Roman citizen card! Because you see, the Jews cannot hurt a Roman citizen. You hurt a Roman citizen, we hurt you. And so they all came, you know, because they are scared now. You know, because, you know, kind of the Romans just don't, you know, slap you around, you know. And so they came and he made them apologize. And, so he's not saying being a weakling. He's just saying, you know, are there times you have to say, are my rights more important in this situation? And how can Christ be glorified? It's just asking that question. Let me give you some examples. I had a deacon in my church who was in the printing business. Actually, it's funny, he was the stripper. You know, he separated the colors, you know, on a, you know. But I remember when I first met him, I said, what do you do, Grant? Oh, I'm a stripper. Oh, boy. You know, I could hardly wait for my first worship group. And, but he had been with the company for ages. In fact, he was being there so long, they also allowed him to do work for a mission agency he was involved with as well, for their printing. And printing was changing, of course, and layoffs were required, and he had seniority because he had been there forever, and he wouldn't be touched. Those were his rights. Those were his rights according to the union, the contract, whatever. He had rights, he could stay. But what he did do was, he told me that they talked to their financial guy, and he said, yeah, you're fine. And so he decided, I took an early retirement. I said, why'd you do that? He said, because there was a young guy working there with a young family paying for a house who would be laid off if I decided to work. He gave up his rights. He gave up his rights to continue working, which he loved to do, so this guy could stay on and look after his family. And Grant was a Christian, and I'm pretty sure, knowing Grant, that the guys at the plant knew he was a believer as well. A number of years ago, I went to a funeral of a friend from our church, Earl Hicks, Captain Earl, because if you went to Christian Service Brigade, he was our captain. And Earl, I hope that when he got to heaven, they gave him a place to stay right near the throne, because having to put up with idiotic boys like us making fun of everything, you know, he was a saint. And at the end of the funeral, his son-in-law and a buddy of mine, Don, he said, listen, if any of you want to say anything, and I got up and, you know, talked about him in Christian Service Brigade, and a couple other guys did the same, and one man got up, really nicely dressed, nice looking guy. He gets up, go, who is this guy? And he gets up and he walks to the microphone and he says, you don't know me, but a number of years ago, he said, I was appointed the president of Hallmark Cards of Canada. And he said, Earl also worked there as one of our executives. He said, when I went, everybody knew, including myself, that the one man who knew the most about cards was Earl Hicks. And I was really worried how he would react. Would he try to sabotage me? Would he, you know? And he said, he came by my side. He was my mentor. He was my friend. He was my supporter. I just could not believe the kindness that he showed to me. And he said, now I know why. Because Earl loved God. And his rights maybe to be president of Hallmark Cards of Canada took the back seat to his being able to stand beside the new president and be a witness to him. And I need to talk about myself because I'm so humble. One summer I was working in the coal yard at the Hearn Generating Station downtown Toronto, right off the beautiful spot. Ugly place for a coal yard, but great location. And then when the boats came in with the coal, they would come and they would unload on the conveyor belts, and sometimes they would go over to the coal, you know, to the coal yard. Other times they would go, I'd go up to the bunkers, and I'd have to go way up there and, you know, in 100 degree heat and load up the bunkers and so on. But after they were done, the crew would go down on safety ropes and scrape the sides. And they used these beautiful and really nice expensive, well, they were kind of like ice scrapers, really nice. And they would scrape. Now, every so often, one would fall, and it would kind of go through the conveyor system and end up, you know, somewhere in the yard. Sometimes the handle was broken, and whoever found it could keep it. That's what I was told. That's what I heard. Well, one day, I didn't have one, but one day as I'm walking along, you wouldn't believe this. Talk about a God thing. There was this ice scraper, and it wasn't broken. God doesn't give you nothing broken. And I thought, this is great. And I picked it up after a short prayer and singing a hymn. I went to my locker and I put it away. A little bit later, the summer student I was working with came to me and said, oh, Paul, he said, hey, have you seen a scraper around? I said, why? Well, the crew lost one and they're really looking for it. They're going to be leaving in a minute. And they would really like to get it back. No. I knew the rules. I had my rights. But I felt guilty. Oh, I hate that feeling. I went into my locker, took the scraper, and I quoted in the words from Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And I went back, I saw the, oh, guys, were you looking for this? Oh, yeah, thanks, man, appreciate it, no problem, man. And then a little later, the student came up to me and he said, oh, Paul, you know what? I'm really glad you gave it back. Because if you hadn't, I wouldn't have thought much of your Christianity. You see, sometimes we have to understand that we might need to give up our rights for the cause of Christ. Now, the world doesn't see it that way. The world doesn't understand that. That's why Paul said in Romans, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Let's not become like the world when it comes to our rights. You know, people give up rights all the time. You give up rights for your kids. Sometimes you may like, you know, something nice, but you don't because the kids need something. I remember with my parents, 1 year I failed grade 9. And at the same time, my brother failed grade 10. I failed because I didn't want to catch up to him and make him feel bad. My parents were really, really not happy. My dad didn't say, oh, joy, let's thank the Lord that he gave us stupid boys. Because I had cousins who were, well, a doctor, linguist, and a lawyer. And another one who is a nurse. And here we were. So my parents decided they had to do something. So they sent Ian and I for a year to Loren Park College. Now, that was a free Methodist school, private school, boarding school in Port Credit, Ontario, right off the Queen E, actually, I think. And we had a great year there. I'm not sure it really helped me academically, but it was fun. But I never thought, how'd my parents pay for this? What sacrifices did they make? I don't know. They never said. I didn't kind of realize this, of course. You know, when you're more older and you have your own kids, you realize, oh, did my parents do that? You know? But you see, people do it all the time. You know, dad comes home from work, and mom's got a nice pot roast on. They have supper and clean up, and the kids are off to bed, and mom and dad, husband and wife, are sitting together on the Chesterfield watching Jeopardy. And dad says to his wife, honey, you know what? you know, the GM dealer in town's got a special on right now for Corvettes. You know, boy, I really would love a Corvette. And the wife says, sweetheart, you deserve a Corvette. I know that. And I wish you could have it, but honey, we've enrolled the kids in organized hockey. We can't afford a Corvette. It's going to cost us more to put these kids into hockey than a Corvette. Yeah, you're right, hon. I'll give up the Corvette for the kids. But the dad kind of hopes that one of the kids will become a professional and give him back what he paid. So we do that, you know. People who serve, sometimes missionaries, when they go overseas, you know, they give up rights, safety, health, nice things. Back in the old days, you know, it was even worse. You know, today I think it's not quite as bad because, you know, technology and modernization has hit pretty well most countries. I remember my mom told me when she went to Africa, they had to go down to Union Station. They took a train, and then the train took them to New York, and then they caught a boat at New York and went, sailed across to England, and then changed boats and went down the coast in the Atlantic down towards Nigeria. Now, you may say, well, that'd be nice, a cruise. No, no, no. This is during World War II. And so they had to travel under darkness because of German U-boats. And in fact, the one boat my mom was on its return voyage, she wasn't on the return voyage, actually got sunk. So there were sacrifices. My mom had malaria 3 times, and the fact that they couldn't go back to Africa they came home in 50, so they didn't go back because they were afraid that if my mom got a malaria again, she would die. So there are sacrifices we all make, but she wasn't feeling sorry for herself because that's what she wanted to do. That's where she wanted to be. I mean, I feel embarrassed when people say, oh, you're a minister. Oh, I feel so sorry. The sacrifices you make. I'm not making any sacrifices. I'm not. But if you really feel sorry for me, okay, $10 here, $10 there, I'll feel better. But you know what? And even as a missionary's kid, man, you know what? I spent 5 days in Zurich, Switzerland. I spent 10 days in Rome. I was in Amsterdam. You know, I've been able to fly. You know, when flying wasn't that new, it was fairly new. So it's not a sacrifice. It depends on your mental attitude and how you feel about it. So what do we learn then about this matter of giving up our rights? When Peter, writing in his first letter, in his second chapter, he says to them, so then, stop doing anything to hurt others. And then he says this, Christ gave you an example to follow. So the question we must have then, as we look at this whole matter of rights and freedoms, is what example did Christ give to us? Well, 1 Peter, again, in his second chapter, he says, people insulted him, but he did not insult them back. He suffered, but he did not threaten anyone. No, he let God take care of him. Now that statement really came out at me, even as I was doing the message, it just popped out. You know what? If a person decides to get a vaccination, good, okay, that's fine, that's good. But you still let God take care of you. If you decide, no, there are certain reasons why I can't, then you're still trusting God to take care of you. And if you have to, you know, you have to move around in a society where you have some people vaxxed and some who haven't, you trust God to take care of you. You take certain precautions, but you trust God to take care of you. One of the greatest examples Jesus could have given to us. And then in Luke 9, we read that they were traveling along the road, and someone said to Jesus, I will follow you anywhere you go. And Jesus answered, the foxes have holes to live in, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, interesting, after that statement, a lot of people decided they didn't want to follow Jesus. I mean, Jesus had no rights. He didn't have a right for a decent place to sleep. And then, of course, Paul, as our scripture reading told us in Philippians 2, don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You know, which means, hey, maybe I need to give up this right for this person. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being, and when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So what does love have to do with it? What does love have to do with it? Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, love that does not demand its own way. Love that does not demand its own way. Our love for Christ, our love for the gospel, our love for others comes first. So a couple of questions you have to ask yourselves. In demanding my rights, am I stepping on someone else's rights? You see, a lot of times a person says, well, here's my rights. Okay, but this person over here, what about their rights? Because they can't exercise their rights because you're exercising your rights. Back to Gator Ted's, the guy decided it was his right to be able to go outside and smoke his medical marijuana. Gator Ted knew that if he let the guy do that, he would lose his license and probably his business. And they both had rights. See, a lot of times our rights, and we have to stop and ask ourselves, in exercising my rights, am I stepping on someone else's rights? And the other question is, am I influencing someone in the wrong way? We'll talk about that shortly. And on to the other question, demanding my rights, am I hurting my testimony for Christ? You know, people watch us. You know that people watch you? I watch my neighbors. And, when they do their driveways, and I don't worry about that because I have a snow guy. But I watch, the daughter's home. Oh, the boyfriend's visiting. People watch you. And when you start making demands about your rights, because usually we don't just do it quietly, we have to make it known. What about your testimony? What about your testimony? Do you experience joy when you willingly give up your rights for Christ and for the gospel? Now, in these cases, it's not every right you have, but sometimes you have to give up a right, maybe. And you have to say, well, how do I do that? How do I know what right I should give up? Well, James tells us, if you need wisdom, you go to God. Sure, you go to God. Look into his word. Pray. Talk to somebody who's a mature believer who will give you good advice and help you. You see, we are called to be salt and light, a voice of reason. And if we're acting like the world, who does the world turn to? Who does the world turn to? We can speak up for sure, but with wisdom. In Ephesians, Paul says, don't use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, I want to wrap up with this whole matter of the influence of others. Romans 8:1. Now, regarding your question about food that is being offered to idols, yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this. No, he does that, we all have knowledge. He has it in quotations. See, Paul's good at that sort of thing, because they all, sometimes these people thought they knew so much. And so Paul said, you know a lot. We all have knowledge about this. And it was a huge issue. Do you eat? You see, meat that had been offered to idols, it was sold again, at the local butcher shops. And it was good meat. But I'm not going to touch that. It's been offered to idols. Paul didn't have an issue with that. And he says that. But there's a point that why he wouldn't do it. He says, so we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you with your superior knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? Now, let me explain here. If a person, you know, in their conscience, it's a conscience thing, feels, you know what, if eating meat offered to idols, it's bad, it's a sin, it's been offered to idols, and then for them it's wrong. If you, for somehow, persuade them in one way or another to eat meat offered to idols, you are causing them to sin. If you have something where you say, I can't do that. I don't think that's right. I have trouble with that. And it could be for any reason. And you do it anyway. That's sin. That's why, in the States, they have these things with these bakers who won't make a wedding cake for a gay wedding. And, they go through the courts and, and I think most of them have kind of won their cases. But some good scholars and good evangelical, solid biblical scholars say, well, it's really a matter of conscience here. One guy said, for me, it's cake. Cake's cake. But for them, if it's their conscience, then for them to give in, it's sin. And we should not push them or force them to do something that goes against their conscience. Because you are causing them to sin. That's what he says. So because of your superior knowledge, Paul says, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, if I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. So the big question you have to ask yourself is really quite simply, what am I willing to do? What am I willing to do for the sake of Christ and for the good news of the gospel? Years ago, I came across a poem. I don't usually end my sermons with a poem. Every day you're supposed to, but I don't. But this one I had, and it's always stuck in my head, and I lost it. But I was able to kind of, thanks to Google, I was able to find it again. It's called We Have No Rights by a lady named Mabel Williamson. He had no rights. No right to a soft bed and a well-laid table. No right to a home of his own, a place where his own pleasures might be enough. No right to shrink away from filth and sin, but to pull garments closer around him and turn aside to walk in cleaner paths. No right to be understood and appreciated. No, not by those upon whom he poured out a double portion of his love. No right even never to be forsaken by his father, the one who meant more to him than all. His only right was silently to endure shame, spitting, blows, to take his place as a sinner at the dock, and to bear my sins in anguish on the cross. He had no rights, and I? A right to the comforts of life? No, but a right to the love of God for my pillow. A right to physical safety? No, but a right for security of being in his will. A right to love and sympathy from those around me? No, but a right to friendship of the one who understands me better than I do myself. A right to be a leader among men? No, but the right to be led by the one to whom I have given my all, led as is a little child with his hand in the hand of his father. A right to a home and dear ones? No, not necessarily, but a right to dwell in the heart of God. A right to myself? No, but oh, I have a right to Christ. All that he takes, I give. All that he gives, I take. He, my only right. He, the one right before which all other rights fade into nothingness. I have full right to him. Oh, may he have full right to me. So when it comes to your rights and to your freedoms, Jesus gave us an example that we could follow in his steps. Let's pray. Hey, Father, thank you for your word and for what it teaches us. I thank you, Lord, that we do have an example in Christ. And he gave so much for us so that we could become part of your family and look forward to being in heaven with you forever. And so, Father, if we struggle with the matter of rights and freedoms, Father, we look to you as we're told to. And I pray, Lord, that you will guide each individual in whatever their need is and whatever their situation, and that they will see very clearly that they are doing what you want them to do. And help us, Father, to respect that in others. In Jesus' name, amen.